You're listening to the Happy Hour on RNIB Connect Radio. Now, Ashley J. Hicks is a New York-based actor, writer, and teaching artist who is actually also living with albinism. Now, her credits include 2022 Disney Discovers television showcase and recently Netflix sci-fi action movie Atlas. She is also a podcast co-host on Art New York's What's Off podcast, and she joins me now. Lovely speaking with you today, Ashley.
Hello, how are you?
I'm not too bad. It's so nice having someone here to chat a little bit about acting, because it's such an exciting environment, such an exciting job. So would you mind telling us what drew you into acting in the first place?
I think the thing that drew me into acting was the fact that there were very little examples that I had as a kid of characters or actors with albinism. And when I'd look on TV and watch movies and I'd be like, I want to do that. there wasn't really much representation. It was my way of kind of coming out of my shell a little bit as a kid. And then I found out that I really, really enjoyed it and was really good at it. So I just continued doing it through high school and college and eventually went to get my MFA in acting and graduated in 2021.
So you've been doing this gig for such a long time now. Do you think the whole kind of TV and film industry has changed much since you've started as a young person, maybe venturing into acting? Do you see companies in the industry being open to kind of challenging negative stereotypes?
I do think that the industry has changed. It's still kind of slow, but it has changed from when I was little. I'm also a theater actor, and that's where my heart is. I think that representation matters. And I think as the industry becomes more inclusive, it's not just people with albinism that get a part of that conversation, but when it comes to disability and inclusivity, race, gender, I do think the tide is moving, but we still have a ways to go.
And I know a lot of your work, when I had a look on your website, for example, one of the driving forces for you, obviously, as you said as well, was that you wanted to create this representation on the screen that you didn't have growing up, but you're also out there challenging stereotypes. So what would you say are the biggest stereotypes around albinism that you're there kind of showing that, no, this is not true?
Well, I think one of the biggest stereotypes with people with albinism is how we're usually cast as like these magical creatures, sometimes like very evil characters, which isn't true. I think it comes from a lot of misinformation from Africa, honestly. Unfortunately, there's a lot of violence against people with albinism in Africa. And so a lot of these stereotypes and this misinformation comes from there, that we are cursed, that we're good luck charms. And unfortunately, that bleeds over into how we are or have been portrayed in TV and film.
From your personal experience, what was the first instance of when you went into this industry where you were perhaps involved in a project that you maybe felt like, oh yes, they are totally inclusive, they're really wanting to change the game?
I've been doing this for a while, so fortunately, I've had a couple of those experiences. I would say back in Chicago, I was in Chicago for about 8 years and doing a lot of storefront theater. And I think when I started auditioning there, because usually, not always, but usually if I'm in a room, I'm probably the only person with albinism in that room. So there's sometimes a lot of burden of enlightenment to teach and, you know, educate the people in the room about my condition. But I think it was probably back in Chicago when I realized, oh, you know, they're starting to be a little bit more inclusive. I was getting called in for roles a lot more, because at first it was, you know, we love Ashley, we just don't know what to do with her. And I think Chicago, my time there was really, really beneficial because casting directors and directors and, you know, artistic directors were being a lot more brave and thinking outside of the box. So I don't think I have a specific instance, but I can definitely say it started in Chicago and my time there.
That's a really interesting, actually, because I feel like it comes up a lot where someone maybe looks different or has a disability, is this question of, should you maybe open up the casting if you maybe have a role that's not specifically blind or paper, or maybe someone who's not specifically like yourself has lives with albinism, should you open up this role to more people without thinking that this has to be a characteristic of the portrayal? Like, it doesn't necessarily need to define this character, but it could still be part of them just by having someone who looks different play them.
You know what? My dream is to be on a TV show or a movie and my albinism is not the
plot point.
Yeah, it's not the plot point. You know, it's a part of the character, but it's like, okay, this person just exists in this world. So to answer your question, I think that, you know, if there's a casting for a blind person or, you know, in my situation, a person with albinism, like, yay, great. But it's always great when the casting opens up other characters being like, oh, this character doesn't identify as blind, or this character doesn't identify as a person with albinism, but an actor could very well submit for those roles if they identify that way, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And there's something I actually do want to ask you, because I know albinism can affect the vision, but that can be very varied. It's very much a spectrum. So for you personally, does albinism affect your vision in any way?
Yeah, good question. Yes, it is a spectrum. For me, you know, I'm sensitive to light. I wear glasses. I make the joke that they're just for show because I can see with them, but I sometimes see better with them off. I can drive. I have restrictions on my license for obvious reasons. I can drive during the day, but not at night. I see better during the day. And I also have nystagmus, which is not, I think everyone with albinism has nystagmus to a degree, but it's not specific to only people with nystagmus. And nystagmus is simply just rapid movement of the eyes.
I think it's sometimes called dancing eyes as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so mine shake, you know, back and forth. And if I'm a little tired or fatigued, it happens a little faster. But when I'm wearing my glasses, it slows down. If I'm a little more focused, it slows down. If I'm wearing contact lenses, it slows down. But those are just a couple of the challenges that I face with my vision.
Mm. There's a really interesting project that you've worked on I actually would love to speak about, which is, it's one of your solo projects. It's called Mental, a short solo film. And could you tell us more about it and what actually inspired you to write and star in this story? Because you actually are the lead actor in it as well.
Oh, wow. You did your homework. Mental was written my final year of grad school. It was my thesis project, so to speak. And because of the pandemic, it was originally supposed to be in person. It was supposed to be like a theater project in front of an audience. And because of the pandemic, we had to switch to an all film thing. So I wrote the script over a year. It came out of a personal experience, but also several other experiences that I had heard about, and basically follows a young woman as she checks herself into a psychiatric facility to get help. And all of the characters, I think there are like 7+, are played by me. I filmed over 2 days because we really didn't have that much time. It was myself and a really good friend from class, Johnny Rice, was on camera. And whatever parts I wasn't playing on camera, he was reading off camera, which was really cool. I've written another solo show that was for the stage called Beautifully Broken, but this was my first solo film and I did all of the editing, which was like 60 hours. I mean, it took 2 days to film and then it was like 60 hours to edit. And I was really proud of it. I hired a musician to do some of the music for me. And I sang a song at the end. And it was a really, really special project. It's probably one of my favorite projects that I've done so far.
Would you say it feels quite personal? Because, I mean, you're talking about a very difficult topic. It's obviously mental health, which is not something easy to discuss.
And it wasn't. I think it was really healing. And yes, you're right. Mental health is not easy to talk about. But I thought it was something that could be universal in a way. Even if the person watching had never taken that step to seek help, I thought that, oh, this would be something that a lot of people could relate to.
Is it difficult playing characters who are maybe vulnerable in this way? Does it ever impact how you're feeling, or is it very much an instance of you put on a mask and you kind of manage to separate the character from yourself?
I have my ways of getting in and out of characters that are a little bit more vulnerable, or I would say maybe closer to me. Those are the fun ones. those are the fun characters to play, because I know that there are people out there that can relate to them. I do think it's important to have like a way to come out of those types of characters, because it can be emotionally draining, especially in theater. If you're doing it like 6 or 7 nights a week, making sure that I'm taking care of myself and have my little rituals. But those are the fun characters. I really enjoy them.
I would actually love to hear about some of the rituals you do to kind of maybe unwind at the end of the day, or maybe just get into a good headspace.
Water is a huge thing for me. It's almost like washing off the character, staying hydrated. I'm also a practicing SGI Buddhist, so I'm usually at my altar, you know, chanting for the day. I love meditation and usually listening to music. I have playlists for characters whenever I'm playing a role. And to get into the character, I'll probably listen to the playlist. And then to get out, you know, I'll do something with water, shake it out of my body. I'll sit and chant or meditate for a little while just to bring myself back home to myself. Actors and artists in general have their own individual ways of getting into and out of a character. And I think it's so important that we take care of ourselves, because a lot of these roles are that, you know, they're big and, you know, we want them to be as relatable and human-like, like the human condition. And that takes, like I said, an emotional toll. And there are different ways that actors have, or different methods, I should say. Some people are method actors. Some people are Stanislavski trained or Meisner trained. And, you know, I think it all depends on what works for the role, what gets you in that character's life. But I think taking care of our mental health while we're doing this work is really important. I think people tend to forget that behind these characters are, you know, actual people playing these roles. And so it's really important to make sure that, you know, we're taking care of ourselves in order to bring life to this character or whatever character we're playing.
And I think people sometimes forget that we'll go and see a movie, we'll watch someone, and then we're so quick to comment on what they look like or what we maybe think is different about them. How do you find that? How do you manage this sort of weird acceptance in society to just comment on someone's body like that just because we saw them on the telly or we saw them on the big screen?
I think this is probably one of the upsides of my experience as a person with albinism in this industry. I'm already used to that, you know, people commenting on how I look just walking down the street. And in this industry, it's you know, it's a lot of rejection, and it's a lot of, you're basically, you know, being put in front of a bunch of people and they can comment on you. And I think that's the beautiful thing about art, is that once it's out there, it can become whatever the person who's viewing it or experiencing it wants it to be. But in terms of being talked about, or, oh, you look this way, or, I'm used to that already. That happens on a daily basis for me. I think as I continue to get more visibility, we'll see how that answer changes. But for right now, it's like it's any other day for me. I have to deal with people staring or pointing or being really curious about my condition.
And it's, I want to bring it back to something you said earlier, which you said your heart is very much in theater productions. But how does it feel going from loving the stage to actually working on maybe a project like Netflix's, I think Atlas was quite a big movie. It had Jennifer Lopez. Was that quite a daunting experience? What were the differences going from theater to, I guess, something like this?
It wasn't a daunting experience at all. I was actually working on the Disney Showcase at the same time. So I got the experience of being on a set right before I went to film for Atlas. And it was great. You know, I made some really great friends. There was a lot of waiting. There's a lot of just like sitting and waiting for the shot to be set up and then having to do it, you know, a bunch of times. You know, in theater, you get to do it, it's in real time and you just have to continue on if you mess up or if you miss a line. Whereas with film, you get a chance to get it right and, you know, do 20, 30 takes and you're not really sure what take they're going to use. But it was a really great experience. I had a lot of fun and I'm really happy with how it turned out.
And are you working on anything exciting at the moment that you can share?
I am currently working on writing a pilot for Mental. I'm not done with that. I would very much like it to be a limited series. So I'm working on that. And then I can't say what I got cast in, but I did just book another film role, which I'm really excited about.
Well, what would be the easiest way for us to maybe keep up to date with what you're doing? Do you have social media pages we can follow you or a website?
Yes, I have my Instagram page. That's usually where I update all of my things. So that's Ash Jean Hicks. And then I have my website, www.ashley-j-hicks.com.
Brilliant. Well, Ashley, it's been so lovely speaking with you today on RNAB Connect Radio, and we look forward to seeing what you appear in next.
Thank you so much for having me.